You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Friends, I thought this was all about me.
Spell my name again!
Greetings, audio content enthusiasts! You're listening to Luke Ski's Animation and Stuff Podcast, the podcast where your host Luke Ski, an animation industry storyboarder, writer, and voice actor, who is also a nerdy comedy musician, is joined by a different guest host each week, where they will discuss cartoons and comedy, sci-fi and superheroes, Muppets and Mandalorians, and, you know, stuff! The opinions expressed on this podcast are solely those of the people speaking them and do not reflect the views of any companies they have or currently do work for. And now, without further ado, here's your host Luke Ski and his... stuff.
Hey everyone, it's Luke. Before the episode properly starts, I wanted to start off with an apology to this month's guest, Micah Hirsch. We recorded the interview with Micah and his friend Noah at Cantor's Deli using my Zoom recorder, and I noticed at one point that the battery seemed to be running low, so I stopped recording with that and then switched over to my phone to finish off the show. And now, as I got home a few days later to edit the podcast, I noticed that it actually cut off a part of our conversation. So we still have a half hour's worth of us talking all about The Emperor's New Groove and related things. So, I mean, I still think it's a good podcast, but part of our conversation got lost, and I apologize to Micah for that. So if Micah wants me to have me on his podcast to talk about anything that we discussed before that got lost, just let me know. So anyway, just wanted to mention that. It'll become quite obvious when you're listening where the cutoff point goes from the Zoom recording to the phone recording. So there you go. Thanks for listening. And now, the episode.
Hey everyone, this is Luke. We are at Cantor's Delicatessen in Hollywood, which I have recorded podcasts at before, but this is my first time for animation and stuff. And we are here because there is somebody in town, and I thought, ooh, cool, this gives me an opportunity to figure out what to do for my November episode. So please welcome to the show the world's biggest fan of the Emperor's New Groove franchise. That would be Micah Hirsch.
Hello.
So, and also with Micah is his friend Noah Snodgrass, a.k.a. Otterly Noah, who I unfortunately was not familiar with until this week when I found out he was going to be in town with Micah. So, hi, Noah.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
So I apologize for not being familiar with your body of work, but from what I saw on YouTube when I checked it out, it's like, oh, there's a lot of cool stuff here. I'll have to check it out later. So you obviously know what you're talking about when it comes to media. So anyway, I want to dive straight into the main reason why you're in town, which is we just saw a special showing of the movie The Emperor's New Groove at the El Capitan Theater in Hollywood. But it wasn't just the fact that they were showing the movie. They had special guests there. So, Micah, why don't you describe who was all there for the beginning part?
Tracy Miller Czarnecki. I don't know if I'm pronouncing your name right. And if for somehow she hears this, I apologize if I'm butchering your name, was the moderator. Mark Dindle, the director. David Reynolds, the quote-unquote writer of the movie.
as much as there could have been a writer on that one.
Yeah, John Debney, the composer.
And Patrick Warburton.
It was very good seeing Kronk himself there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it would have been nice to have gotten either David Spade or John Goodman there, but it's like, you know that they're probably both way too busy.
Well, Luke, if it's any consolation, I walked and saw John Goodman's star on the Walk of Fame.
Oh, cool, cool.
Well, they did joke, for those listening at home that obviously weren't there, they did. Patrick did tell a joke about David Spade, saying he was at the 13th anniversary of Grown Ups 2 instead of The Emperor's New Groove, which I thought was
good. And for any of you Cusco's My Favorite Disney Princess fans, Patrick Warburton also said that David Spade is a bit of a princess.
I think I said that on one of the other podcasts I had been on, Tony's or somebody's, just that I always thought that would have been a really funny thing for them to do, because I know they have the walk-around park characters of Kuzco and Yzma and Krunk that have, like, the plastic faces. But I'm like, you should make them face characters so that there can be some guy... Like, you look at all those footage of, like, the Evil Queen and
or Gaston.
Or Lady Tremaine or whatever. And the way they're interacting with people, being, like, being all villainy and stuff, it's like... Having Kuzco there to, like, judge everybody, like, on what they're wearing, you know, or just, you know, that would be the ultimate thing. So I always thought it would have been funny if, like, if they had some face actor as Kronk, like, wheel him in on a cart or something like that. Like, he has a throne on a cart. Just, like, wheel him in. Just set him up next to the other princesses, and he can just judge people.
Maybe they'll do that sometime at Oogie Boogie Bash or something. That'd be fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Grilled cheese with fries?
Yep, thank you.
All right, and the other two sandwiches will be right up, okay?
Cool. So, yeah, it was just really cool to hear them talk about the making of the film and show them, they showed a bunch of really cool artwork, which just made me yearn even more. I wish there was a Emperor's New Groove art book.
They mentioned that, too. They said they wish there was, too, and they're disappointed there isn't, so...
Well, I think there might be hinting at something possibly with that.
Well, yeah. Fingers crossed, I suppose.
Same here.
One of those drawings, I want to show... I know Steve Anderson, who was a board artist on the movie, as I know you know him, too, but I'd like to send him that, like... I took a picture of that image they put up on the screen. I want to send it to him and say, like, is this your drawing? Because it really looks like a Steve Anderson drawing.
Yeah.
But, so I want
to... some of those drawings he sent to me, so...
Cool.
Probably were his, yeah.
So, like, was there anything in that whole opening thing with the five of them that you didn't know? Like, what was any new information?
Not that I remember.
Okay.
Same here. I mean, this is one of my favorite Disney movies, too, so I didn't know much of what they were saying.
But I don't care if I know it already. It's fun to be there anyway.
Oh, yeah. It was just cool seeing all of them. It's such a good experience.
I think I might know something that Mark Dindal has forgotten at this point. Because here's a story for y'all. I remember on the Emperor's New Groove audio commentary, I don't know if it was Mark or someone else with them, said that the reason they hired Tom Jones is because Sting was going to perform that song originally, and he said he wanted someone younger, so they got Tom Jones. He's like 11 years older than Sting.
Tommy with the kettle chips?
That's me.
All right, let us know what's coming right here.
Thank you.
So,
yeah, I remember that bit. One thing that I didn't know about specifically was the whole thing about them coming up with the character Kronk and then having that whole interaction of like, here's this guy, like, it's like, what's your deal? It's like, my deal, I do all these crunches every day or whatever. And then him going, like, that's the guy from Seinfeld. That's the voice you should get him. And, like, they didn't even know who he was.
Would it surprise you to know that I have heard that story before?
I'm assuming you've heard virtually everything that has to do with the Emperor's New Groove before.
As far as I know.
Yeah, I've never, it's like, as far as, like, people being a fan of a specific thing or, you know, a franchise or whatever, it's like, you kind of... Like, you know, kind of, I'm trying to think of the right way to say this. Just, it's like, if there was an Olympic gold medal for being into a very specific thing, like, you kind of seem to be, like, the all-time Olympic gold medalist of, you know, being into the Emperor's New Groove. I mean, and, okay, so, this is what I was going to say. I wanted to jump off that into this. I want to know your... Because I'm going to tell mine, but I want you to go first. I wanted you to tell your Emperor's New Groove, like, origin story. Like, when did you first see it? When did you first have something click with you to say, wait, this is something that means... Okay.
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, you go first.
I didn't see it in the theater when it came out, believe it or not. I did see it on home video, and I was a kid, so I liked it okay. Really, though, what got me into the movie was reruns of the TV show, which is why I have a podcast that's part of what it covers, is because I at 5:30 in the morning, they would play the TV show on Disney XD. I would wake up and watch it, and I was like, I should probably revisit the movie. So then I did, and it's like, wow, this is amazing. So that's the short version.
Well, cool. Noah, do you have an origin story for this?
Yeah, funny enough, similar to Micah, I actually caught on a home video initially, and I was a kid at the time as well, so I thought it was hilarious as a kid, and I think even still today, it's still funny. Like, it's just kind of a very timeless comedy, and like, it almost feels in some ways more like a Warner Brothers production, like very Looney Tunes, very wacky, zany, than like a traditional Disney production. And it's also
very deliberate.
Yeah, exactly.
Knowing people who worked on it.
that was definitely the point. But it also just crazy to me that it was, you know, like, went through such production hell and it was going to be a totally different movie at first, and they were still able to scrap that together and make a genuinely good movie even out of that. Right. Like, that's unheard of.
I have something I'd like to bring up that I don't
really have. With the coleslaw.
Thank you.
Everything else tasting okay?
Yeah,
everything's great.
Well, I'll enjoy.
I don't hear people bring up, because everyone always focuses on the cartoon and comedy, which is great. I don't hear people bring up how often how tightly well structured the story is, and it's amazing that they were able to figure that out with just the beats that they apparently had.
It's a very short movie, but it flows really well.
So one of the things that I never stopped to kind of make this connection before, until I was watching them talk tonight, is that this may be the first. Possibly only, I don't know. I think possibly only for Walt Disney Animation Studios, for sure. Like, everything else, all these other movies are basically, you know, script-driven movies. This is the first board-driven movie, like, board-driven animated feature, possibly ever. I mean, because, you know, they didn't have, like he said, like, oh, he went home, he wrote the dinner scene in 15 minutes, brought it back the next day. They whipped together, you know, a quick storyboard of it and showed it to the people, and, you know, and that was their way of saving the character Kronk, you know?
A lot of Disney films, they're sort of back and forth between board and script driven, or I don't know for sure, that's just what I've heard. But Emperor Kazoo is much more board-driven than, because they never finished the script.
Yeah, because there was no actual finished script of that movie until after the movie was completed. So remind me, what was the release date of the movie?
Hang on, man, I'll finish this.
Sorry.
Okay.
Yes, everybody leaving a comment. I realize that eating while podcasting is generally frowned upon, but frankly, I don't care.
I don't give a darn.
The food's too good here. We have to do it.
The release date, December 15th, 2000 was a wide release.
Okay, so I remember I was, maybe it was because it was around Christmas time or something, I was in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, which is the town I grew up in, and
I might have been taking your napkin before I did here.
And there's a movie theater in downtown Lake Geneva. It's not a huge, it's not like a big AMC or whatever. It was an old-timey movie theater that used to have two screens. And then at one point, they decided to take two of the screens and, like, basically split it down the middle and make each, like, equal-sized, you know, theaters. They turned the second screen into theaters 3 and 4. And then theater one had a balcony. So what they did is they basically, like, put a wall where the end of the balcony was so that there would be one super huge theater and then a small, you know, screen number two balcony-sized theater for, like, movies they thought weren't going to do as much money. So they could put whatever the big-ticket movie was in the biggest theater number one and whatever, like, that probably won't make so much. Put it up in theater number two in the balcony thing. So they had Emperor's New Groove playing up on that screen. And I remember going to see it and thinking it was so funny and brilliant, and I was just kind of like, everybody in the world needs to see this movie. It is so funny, it's so good, but it was slept on by the world, and I was just kind of taken aback by that, and I was just like, you know, eager for it to show up on VHS, you know. So eventually it did, and by that time I was working at a video store. And I don't know if you remember this about video stores, but they used to always have TVs up, and they'd typically be playing, like, some 1 hour's worth of commercials or something that would keep repeating and repeating and repeating. But every so often, the employees, whether they were supposed to or not, would just stick a movie in there. So putting Emperor's New Groove became my go-to, I'm putting this movie on, so that's what's on in the video store while I'm working. So it would just be on over and over again. Occasionally, I would swap it out for Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, which had also just come out at the time on video.
John Goodman in it.
Yeah, yeah. Again, hey, nice connection. I never made the connection myself. Wow.
John came out at that time.
Bizarre road movies with John Goodman in them.
Well, it's also funny because Rocky and Bowling Gold came out at that time, and also was a road movie with John Goodman in it. So weird. There's like three.
Billy Crystal had such a weird role in that movie. Yeah, mattresses. It's like,
oh no.
I mean, I know there were a billion cameos in that movie, but it was just like,
there were a billion cameos.
Yeah. I'm very surprised how many people they got for a movie like that. Yeah, it's kind of wild.
Yeah. So basically, I just spent. I feel, and I said that I have said this on, you know, Tony's and other podcasts. Just, I felt like, you know, I was just kind of in this, like, this weird minority of, like, this movie is so awesome and nobody knows about it. So I had to, like, keep telling people, like, the whole word of mouth thing, like, have you seen Emperor's New Groove? No, you have to see this movie. It's so good. And it's, I just felt so frustrated for years that like, nobody seemed to care. And, like, I'd go to the Disney parks, there wouldn't be any merch. Like, it never got brought up. But now, suddenly, over the past 5-10 years-ish, you know, I guess as the whole kind of generational thing kind of cycled through, suddenly it's like, oh, now there are, you know, references and, you know, t-shirts and merch. And, you know, you mentioned in the car that for one of the Celebration D23 events in Florida, they, at Typhoon Lagoon, the water park, they did a whole Cuscotopia night, which sold out, which is amazing. So it's like, cool, you know? So, you know, I
now it's a bona fide Disney classic. It's crazy, but really cool to see.
Yeah, now you can go to, like, stores like Box Lunch and find Emperor's New Groove shirts and other merch out there, you know? So I'm happy. It's like, I'm happy to be proven right. I just think it took way too long.
I think part of what helped it out, though, was internet culture, you know, because it's also a very memed on movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, that's, I think, something that really helped it out, especially when it came out, you know? Also, like, it did really well on home video because a lot of people, by that point,
that's how we got the sequel in the TV series.
Exactly, yeah.
From the home video doing well.
Exactly.
So, and it's amazing because I bought it on VHS, I bought it on DVD, I have bought it on Blu-ray. Now they're releasing a 4K version, and I'm probably going to buy that too.
You have a 4K player, or?
I don't think I have there's a
PS5.
Okay, I don't have a PS5, I have a PS4.
Okay, so, well, yeah, you know, I do like 4K discs a lot because they always have the best quality, and it's always lossless because, you know, if you want to get streaming, it's going to be compressed, and it won't be true 4K. So, like, that's why I always buy 4K discs whenever they put them out. It's something I love, like, ever.
See, when it comes to video games, I'm much more of a Nintendo person, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, so it's like, I don't know if I necessarily want to invest the money in a PS5, especially considering that I just bought the Switch 2.
Exactly, which also does 4K now, thankfully.
Yeah. So, but yeah, so there's Emperor's New Groove. Then they did the direct-to-video sequel, Kronk's New Groove.
Yep.
Because I guess they did the market research and said, oh, kids like Kronk, let's give him a direct-to-video movie. So that's interesting, because that, like many of the Disney direct-to-video sequels, so many of them are like these, they're like three episodes of a pitch for an animated series based on that thing.
Yeah.
And they just kind of glued them together as if they were all one story that was meant to make sense in some way.
Yeah.
And that definitely seems what they did with
Kronk's
Group.
That's funny, because Kronk's Group wasn't supposed to be a TV series.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
just how the movie turned out. Because there was a TV series.
And it was very nice that they actually had all the original voice cast back.
Kronk's Groove, yeah.
Yeah. Who played the woman he was interested in? What was that?
Tracy Ullman.
Tracy Ullman. I knew it was somebody like that. But, so canonically, I have to assume that Kronk's New Groove takes place, you know, like in the order they came out. That it was Emperor's New Groove, Kronk's New Groove, and then the Emperor's New School.
Yeah.
So,
to some degree, but also don't think too hard about it.
Yeah. Now, how many episodes of Emperor's New School were there?
52.
Is that two seasons?
Yes.
Okay. And at the end of it, they kind of seemed like they were expecting a third season, then found out they weren't getting it, and then they had to kind of wrap up the series very quickly.
Well, there were multiple things going on. There was Phineas and Ferb was starting to get popular. Eartha Kitt got sick. So I've heard conflicting reports about what led to it being rushed into the finale, but I know that the guy who voiced the character Blanca in the show, who was like a big Cusco Psycho fan, basically, he pitched a third season where that was about Yzma banishing Cusco to a different time. That would have been interesting.
Wow. Yeah, because, I mean, I know that was way back in... I'm sorry, what years did that come out?
The TV show came out in 2006. It ran from 2006 to 2008.
Yeah, okay.
Right, it was like a month before the kid died, the last episode here.
You're right about Phineas and Ferb, because that came out in 2007, so that would have been definitely...
And a lot of the writers from New School went on to work on Phineas.
That makes sense. And, like, funny enough, there was going to be a Chicken Little TV show that they recently uncovered that was lost media for a long time.
But Chicken Little does not have the...
No, it doesn't. But they were going to do a show of that, and then Phineas and Ferb came and crushed any possibility of that. They had, like, animated a full pilot.
Yeah.
And, the theme song and stuff, which is crazy. That was even going to be a thing they were going to do.
Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah. I'm happy, along the same vein of, oh, people finally get caught up on this movie... I've seen at Box Lunch and other places like that, there's finally some Meet the Robinsons merch is starting to show up. It's like, you know, thank God for
hi,
that.
Steve.
Yeah, hi, Steve Anderson. Obviously, you have the premise of the Emperor's New Podcast is you basically exploring every facet of the franchise of The Emperor's New Groove, including, you know, both of those movies and every episode of the show, and any other media you could find. So, what are...
And also interviewing people.
Oh, cool. Yeah. What obscure pieces of The Emperor's New Groove media have you found that maybe I hadn't heard about?
There's a compilation of a bunch of clips from different Disney movies, including The Emperor's New Groove count. Because there's this obscure thing I think only was released in the UK that I covered this year for Halloween called Once Upon Halloween.
Hmm.
And it has Yzma and Kronk in it.
Oh, really?
But it's just clips from the movie. It's not like...
Oh, okay. So it's kind of like... They used to make... there used to be Disney specials back in the early 80s. Where it would be like, you know, Wonderful World of Disney, and it would be like their Halloween special, and they would just like show clips of the spookiest parts of various
movies.
Like
the 2000s version of that,
Okay.
Had a lot of underrated villains in that one.
I believe when I was on your show, one of the episodes I was on with you, we talked about all the special features that were on the 2DVD version that came out way back when. And then I was also on an episode where you talked about the episode where Yzma disguises herself as a young girl or a young person, and she's voiced by Grey De Lisle.
Yeah.
For the young version of her.
Yeah.
So those were both fun. You also have Fire Blast Studios where you do your animations.
Yep.
How long has that been going on now?
How long have I been doing animations in general on that channel? Since 2017.
Okay.
But I really started to become to get a following in 2020 when I started animating excerpts from Tony's podcast.
What programs are you using?
Adobe Animate.
Okay, yeah. So that's basically Flash, right?
Yeah.
I know how to use Flash. I'm not great at it.
Yeah.
Like, one of the places I've done some storyboarding for, Detune, they specifically wanted me to storyboard in Flash so that their animators could just build on top of it.
Yeah.
And it's definitely... For what it is I'm trying to do, Storyboard Pro is better, but, you know, it was what they wanted. So I've at least learned enough of Flash to, get by if I have to.
Yeah. That's just what they taught me in college, basically, was Flash.
Yeah, and me being the... You know, very Cusco-like, egocentric jerk that I am. Once I picked up on the fact that you were making these animations for Tony, I would then start to intentionally say things during episodes, calling you out, being like, "Hey, I can animate this thing." You know,
I haven't done all of them. Sorry.
I know. I did it so often that there's no way you'd do all of them. You know, but you did some of them, and it's been very good. And most recently, you did the Best of Agatha Vile compilation.
Yep.
So remind me, just because, was that all, how much of that was new and how much of that was, like, from previous things?
Oh, it was the animation?
Yeah.
Only one part was from a previous version of the same thing that it did end up finishing. And then
Hi, excuse me. 2 seconds here. I'm the one in the car, remember? This story's about me, not him. Okay, you got it? All right, we're going to move ahead. Sorry to slow you down.
In case there's a weird jump in the way the audio sounds, it's because the battery was running low on my Zoom recorder, so we've switched to my phone to wrap up the show with. So first, really quick, just in case you got cut off, the question I had asked was if you could do, you know, anything you wanted to, you know, do something new with the Emperor's New Groove franchise, what would you do? And say what you just said.
Well, I have too many ideas, but one of them was a remake, but instead of being like the normal live action remakes, it's like the Muppets. Obviously, there'd be human actors too, but it's like Kermit would be Pacha and stuff. I'm still trying to figure out who Gonzo would be. He's important. He's got to work him in there.
I don't know. I mean, because like, you know, there's the four main principal characters. There's, you know, Cusco.
Yeah, I mostly wanted Cusco and Yzma to be human just to get some Peruvian actors in there.
Well, okay, so here's my idea. And you kind of touched upon a thing, specifically how there's all these Disney live action remakes. So here's what I want to do, is I want it to be, and I mean, this could be a movie or this could potentially be like a Disney Plus series, but, you know, the main thing is I want it to start by, you know, everyone sees, like, you know, the Peruvian mountainsides and then, like, you know, the temples and all that stuff. And then we see all these, you know, all the live action Peruvian actors, you know, and you see, you know, some scene from the beginning of the movie start to play out.
Yep.
And then somebody does something that, you know, like one of the people, like probably whoever's playing Cusco, will, you know, kind of bust through the door and be like, "Bang, baby!" And then you hear from off camera, "Cut!" And then you'd like pan over, and you would see like Roger Rabbit style Cusco as the animated Cusco, like sitting in a director's chair. Like Cusco the cartoon is the person directing the live action remake.
That was something similar to that. Was my idea. I also had an idea for one where it's Cusco sabotages it, but Cusco enters the real world by breaking the fourth wall and sabotages the live action remake production.
But yeah, I mean, I just kind of think like if there was a animated, you know, Cusco Pacha. You know, Yzma, obviously, we'd have to get a new voice actor for Yzma, but, you know, I think that'd be...
I'm trying to remember Nick. Leslie Carrera Rudolph, that's who voices Yzma now.
Okay, cool.
Obscure theme park stuff in a game.
Yeah, and you know, obviously Patrick Warburton, but yeah, just like, you know, have some, like, at least the four of them, if not more, but, you know, basically have Disney do... You know, like, I love it when Disney, like, parodies itself. You know, like, that's why House of Mouse was such a great show. And, you know, that's why I loved, you know, I don't care what anybody else says, I love Ralph Breaks the Internet. I love the fact that they went to the Disney part of the net and had all these characters interacting and, you know, them kind of making fun of themselves. So I'd love it if they used this whole notion of, oh, we're making a live-action remake of everything to show, like, Cusco's doing this as his passion project because he wants to retell the story but make himself look better than he did the first time around or something like that.
Yeah.
And just kind of, you know, kind of deal with this behind-the-scenes drama. And then, like, you know, so we're kind of getting an actual live-action remake, but just kind of in pieces as we see them trying to make their reality's live-action movie or whatever. You know, so anyway, that's my idea.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so we should wrap this up. So, give us, plug your YouTube channel and everything else that you want to plug so that everyone knows where to find you.
My YouTube channels are Fire Blast Studios and the Emperor's New Podcast. And on the latter, December 12th will be Chapter 1 of The Road to Cuscotopia, a fanimatic I'm working on with friends that crosses over the Emperor's New Groove and the Road to El Dorado.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And, oh, but yeah, I did see that. Okay. I saw that you were, that was the thing you were doing.
Yeah. So that will be fun. It's going to end up being in either two or three parts. We haven't decided yet, because it makes the production easier, spread it out.
Yeah.
But chapter one will be premiering on YouTube December 12th. I'm at Micah Hirsch on Blue Sky, Micah Hirsch on Facebook, Fireblast Studios on TikTok, Micah Hirsch on Instagram.
And Fireblast Studios on YouTube?
Yeah. Fireblast Studios and the Emperor's New Podcast. I have two YouTube channels.
Oh, okay.
My main ones. Fireblast Studios and the Emperor's New Podcast. Fireblast Studios is mostly animations from the podcast and some original stuff. And Emperor's New Podcast is where all the Emperor's New Groove related stuff is now.
Oh, cool. Cool. And no, why don't you give your stuff a plug too, so that...
Absolutely. You can find me on Utterly Noah on YouTube. I do a lot of videos on animation as well. Mostly media criticism in general. Next video I have will probably be another one criticizing Sloan for not being a good journalist at all, like I did in the last video. And I'll also be doing a video on The Running Man and sort of Hollywood's obsession with 1980s nostalgia in general.
I saw it last night. I like the new one.
It was good. I have some criticisms for it though, which you'll see in the video. Yeah, for sure.
There's a super obvious Easter egg in the beginning of the movie that really made me laugh.
Yeah, that
I don't
want to
give it
cool.
away, but I was like, yes, perfect. Thank you for doing that.
I won't spoil it either, but it is cool if y'all see it. It was cool.
So, all right. So, thank you all for, thank you guys for agreeing to do this so that I had a podcast for this month. And to everyone listening, I'll just say that this has been a podcast with Micah, the podcast recorded specifically to feature Micah's podcast,
that podcast.
All right. Bye-bye, everybody.
What if you could bring three experienced producers into your home each week to discuss your favorite movies and the people that made them? That's Tales from Hollywoodland. Your hosts, Arthur, Julian, and Steve, collectively have years of showbiz producing experience. Their weekly show is a fast-paced, fun, and very conversational experience, like spending a good time with your best movie-loving friends and family. Tales from Hollywoodland is available wherever fine podcasts are found. See you at the movies.
All right, so MarsCon 2026, a quick rundown. I've probably reported on some of this before, but let's just give you all a reminder. It is coming up first weekend of March of 2026, and the MarsCon Comedy Music Track featuring our comedy music guest of honor for 2026, Mr. Insane Ian. Also performing at MarsCon 2026, we have returning acts, the first couple of which haven't been back in quite a while. We're very happy to have them back. That would be Dino Mike and Jeff Whitmire, both returning to MarsCon after a long absence. We'll also have myself, the great Luke Ski, Devo Spice, Carrie Dalby, Holy Bongwater, and Meow Meme. And performing a 30-minute concert at MarsCon for the first time will be That Lucky Panda. Also happening will be a two-part panel happening on Saturday and Sunday morning called The Music of Weird Al Yankovic. It will be moderated by Angel Chuck Gonzalez. And it'll be like, probably 1 hour each. And the idea is just that Angel wants to cover Al's whole career over the course of the 2 days. So, go check that out. Once again, MarsCon 2026, March 6th, 7th, and 8th, 2026, at the Hilton Minneapolis St. Paul Mall of America in Bloomington, Minnesota. The Comedy Music Track website is marsconcomedy.com, which I have not updated yet, but I will as soon as I can. The main convention website, of course, is marscon.com, as well as marscon.org. So, there you go. Other updates, Dan and Darius, I was finally able to get back to work on it after about 2.5 months of my day job keeping me from having any time or energy, or mental clarity to work on it. So I'm very happy to report that as of right now, me recording these words, I am 42% of the way done. So that is pretty cool. And in fact, I have between tonight and tomorrow actually having a full day off, probably the last full day off I'll have for a long time. I'm going to try to sprint up to, it may be ambitious. I'd like to hit 50%, by the end of the day tomorrow, but even if I don't, that's fine, because I know I'm going to, you know, hit 44% almost immediately, just because I know what's coming up next. Anyway, so, you know, you all have that. In case I haven't specifically mentioned it in these notes, my goal is to have it done by early March. And this isn't like something I'm going to announce or advertise, but I did mention this on the Fumpcast. I would like to show this at MarsCon, have the showing at MarsCon of the first rough version of this animatic be during my concert at MarsCon. So that's what I'm shooting for. So if I keep, if I can, you know, do like 3 seconds worth of rough storyboarding every day, pretty much, I'll be able to make it. It's, you know, it's hard. Like I said, my job is not very conducive to having the time or energy or mental clarity to do projects like this, but I am going to keep moving forward and, you know, just do my best. Anyway, I did a piece of artwork that has turned into a thing that you can buy. Toily Tea Paper, the awesome a puppet personality that was created and puppeted by Grandpa Choco of Throwing Toasters and the Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd and lots of other cool stuff. A few years back, he asked me to do a piece of toily artwork to turn into, like, t-shirts and stickers and stuff, and he wanted it to be kind of like toily with his serious look on his face. And so I did it as kind of like a parody of, like, a poster for a Marvel movie. Like the Avengers. So it was Toily Rear Endgame. So he asked me to do another one, and this one he wanted to be kind of holiday themed, and not super to Christmas, but to holidayness in general. So I kind of looked at the whole Rankin Bass special Frosty the Snowman, and so I made an image called Toily the Roll Man, and he has made that available at TeePublic. So if you would like to purchase that image on a shirt, go to TeePublic, that's T-E-E, public.com, and look for the user called The Toily, T-H-E-T-O-I-L-E-Y, and you'll find that image. And if you want to get that shirt, you can. So, there you go. Now, I have a thing I'm going to read, and let's see if I can get through the whole thing without yawning. So I'm going to get one yawn out of the way right now. I hate having apnea. All right, here we go. This is about my Patreon. I sent this to my patrons, but it's for everybody. Greetings, patrons and followers. I have begun the process of adding additional tiers to my Patreon that will be offering exclusive content and experiences. The initial additions are two $3 tiers, and tiers at $5, $10, $20, and $25, based on research and suggestions made by my good friend Janice Campbell. I will be adding more tiers and adding things to some of the existing ones over the coming couple of weeks, so I can hopefully be all set up and ready to deliver on these tiers starting in December. If you'd like to change your current subscription to one of these new tiers now, feel free to. In short, the day job I have that I have been working for the past 80 days does not earn me enough money to pay my rent, bills, groceries, gas, and other living expenses out here in Burbank, USA. I have been making roughly $50 a month from this Patreon, but the deficit I need to cover is about $800 to $1,000 a month. I don't know if I can hit that with those kind of... I don't know if I can hit those kind of financial heights with this Patreon, but any amount more than what I make with it will help. And so, my Patreon overhaul is moving from my to-do list to my actually doing it action. Awkward as the steps may be, it's better than the nothing I was doing before. Like Walt said, keep moving forward. Lastly, to all of you who have been paying patrons for the past 2 years, I thank you so much. Most of the time I have not been giving you guys anything exclusive in return for your patronage, so you've truly been continuing to donate out of the kindness of your hearts, and I really appreciate that money has helped. Also, lastly, I'm sorry for forgetting to post the past 3 episodes of the Animation and Stuff podcast here. I don't know if anyone was using the Patreon app as their preferred method for listening to my podcast, so my apologies to anyone who was/is. I will remember going forward. If anybody has any suggestions as to what kind of content or rewards you'd like me to share with you or give to you for donating at certain levels, please leave comments with your ideas. Thanks again, I appreciate you all, and I hope you will like the new things I'll be offering here in the weeks and months to come. So there you have it. I am going to, you know, get things rolling soon. Because I want to, you know, I need to make more money, and I want to give people stuff, and I'm figuring it out. So amid everything else going on. That's another thing that's happening. But this is me telling you all about it in case you want to, you know, join my Patreon or, you know, change your level now, or maybe you want to wait and see what things are when I finally get to a point of being like, okay, I've got it all figured out. It's all 100% done. Blah, you know, in any case, that's the news on that. One final bit of news is that Kalani, my girlfriend, has completed her chemotherapy and her radiation treatments, and her mammogram and CT scans say that she is cancer-free. So, there you go. Ta-da! Hooray for Kalani. Got a couple of comments. One for episode 8 featuring our guest Agatha Vile. Joseph Viernig said, "Since you asked for more comments on this episode, I thought I would add to your conversation about Scooby-Doo Mystery Inc. One of the show's creators has stated that they intend Velma to be a lesbian for the beginning." I think he means from the beginning. "Their intent with her relationship with Shaggy was to hint at that she wasn't straight by having her act out of character when it came to her relationship with him. She was supposed to be figuring herself out." Okay, well, from my memories of watching that show, it didn't really come across as that. It just came across as she was into Shaggy. Shaggy was too immature to be in a relationship, you know, hence her, you know, breaking up with her, you know, and the way she viewed it was like that he basically dumped her, you know, for Scooby, essentially. And then it wasn't until the very, very end of the last episode where they had that kind of, you know, I guess I don't want to spoil it for those who haven't seen it, but something significant happens, and then at the very end of it, you know, there's something that kind of very makes it, you know, fairly obvious, or hints fairly obviously that, you know, she seems to, you know, be into girls by the very, very end of the last episode. So, anyway, that's my thought on it. And another comment, this one's for episode 9, featuring Shoebox of Worm Quartet from Devo Spice, who said, "I have decided that going forward, all podcasts must have short Worm Quartet songs sprinkled throughout them." If Shoebox is ever my guest again, and I assume he probably will be, because he actually already suggested an idea for a future topic for an episode he and I could discuss that has to do with animation. So, you know, I will definitely play a lot more short Worm Quartet songs sprinkled throughout that episode, whenever that may be. So, that was the only comment I could find between Patreon, Spotify, and the Facebook page for episode 9. So if anybody wants to still make comments in episode 9, go ahead. And if you want to make comments on this episode, please go ahead. And I'm going to do my best to make sure I check every episode and read them off, because that's what I like to do, and I think what you like to hear. So thank you all. I'm going to get into some comedy music time. So thank you all for listening once again. And see you all here. I will speak to you all next month. Peace.
It's comedy music time. It's comedy music time. It's the end of the show. Before we go, it's comedy music time. Yes.
You've heard the animation. You've heard the stuff. Now it's time for you to hear about 10 minutes-ish of comedy music. The best kind of music in the known universe. If this segment had sponsors, which it doesn't, it would be brought to you by The Dr. Demento Show, streaming weekly and all the time at drdemento.com. And by The Funny Music Project, posting new comedy songs for free download twice a week at thefump.com. And now, let the syncopated frivolities commence!
You've joined the Dementia Revolution.
Every generation's pop culture defined,
and the audio they heard is what stuck in their mind.
Back in the old days, you hear the comedy tones
of Stan Freber,
Tom Lehrer,
Al Sherman,
Spike Jones.
On your FM dial, a flying saucer attack
by a purple people eater and a yakety yak.
A witch doctor threw a monster mash every day.
So many novelty tunes, they come and take you away.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Ready for the Dementia Revolution? Are you ready? Are you ready?
I've joined the Dementia Revolution.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Ready for the Dementia Revolution? Are you ready? Are you ready?
You've joined
the Dementia Revolution.
In 1970, the radio saw the birth of
the Dr. Demento Show.
Monty Python didn't care that Rocky Horror was gay,
because he was a lumberjack and he was okay.
Star Trek, it was some triples, no, they ain't got none,
because they're really dead puppies and they aren't much fun.
I saw Streakin' Ray Stevens
showing off his bum,
more disgusting than fish heads.
Eat him up, yo!
When Weird Al Yankovic did his thing,
he became the all-time pop comedy king.
With parodies of Michael Jackson,
Queen Madonna,
The Police, Cyndi Lauper,
R.E.M. and Nirvana.
Julie Brown wasn't blonde, she had a hair of red.
And my heart beat harder than a boot to the head.
It was a golden age and everyone had a ball,
until grunge came along and had to ruin it all.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Ready for the Dementia Revolution? Are you ready? Are you ready?
I've joined the Dementia Revolution.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Ready for the Dementia Revolution? Are you ready? Are you ready?
You've joined the Dementia Revolution.
Depression rock like a cancerous tumor,
killed all radio sense of humor.
With FCC deregulations,
soon corporations owned all the stations.
No more novelty tunes to be heard by you folks,
except Jeff Foxworthy telling redneck jokes,
or Adam Sandler listing off the who's who's
in a holiday list of celebrity Jews.
But Dr. D was still rocking his stacks and playing new independent comedy acts
like the Four Postmen
and the Arrogant Worms, Power Salad,
Sudden Death and Throwing Toasters,
and the Great Luke Ski.
Hey, that's me.
Eli Sci-Fi Cons were the place to be, because the fans of Funny Filk would frequently rock
to the songs of Tom Smith and Ookle the Mock.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Ready for the Dementia Revolution? Are you ready? Are you ready?
I've joined the Dementia Revolution.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Ready for the Dementia Revolution? Are you ready? Are you ready?
You've joined the Dementia Revolution.
Lars, what's nerdcore?
I'm glad you asked. A hip-hop revolution happening fast.
A comedy rap-type fusion thing?
A genre for nerds who can't really sing. Part KRS-One and part Chuck D.
Part Rock Kim and part Eric B.
Check MC Frontalot and MC Chris.
Optimus Rhyme on the nerd rap list.
MC Paul Barman, Beefy Whitey Cracker.
Dare to be stupid and bring some laughter.
Hip-hop's not dead, it's just too serious. The underground's growing and the labels are fearing this.
Novelty rap?
Well, maybe so. Then why are all these kids here at our show?
Love and theft?
Stealing like a hobbit.
Ha, you can't stop it.
That's the hot topic, yeah.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Ready for the Dementia Revolution? Are you ready? Are you ready?
Well, I joined the Dementia Revolution.
Drum bucks, I
didn't authorize you to listen to this revolution.
Relax, I'm doing it. Are you ready?
You've joined the Dementia Revolution.
Now we're all online like an internet board.
Streaming shows from DementiaRadio.org.
And TheFump.com, where it won't take long for all you guys to
download this song.
Started by Rob Baller, the webcomics geek.
Like Jonathan Colton with his thing a week.
Subscribe to podcasts, because they're all the bomb.
And of course, there's DrDemento.com.
Playing possible Oscar and Worm Quartet.
Weird Al's White Nerdy was his biggest hit yet.
JB and KG of Tenacious D
want to pick the music of your destiny.
Swim for emo crunk idol rock on MTV.
Makes you yearn for a different kind of MP3.
Something out of the norm, let us make a suggestion.
By asking you the following question. Sick and tired of the music they play
on the TV and the radio every single day.
All that corporate schlock trying to make you a clone.
When all you want is funny music you can call your own.
All the stand-up and skits,
parodies by the best.
Maximum hilarity.
All right, at your request.
Does that fit you to a T?
I got a question for you.
Are you ready for your dream come true?
Are you?
Are you ready? Are you ready? Ready for the Dementia Revolution? Are you ready? Are you ready?
I joined the Dementia Revolution.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Ready for the Dementia Revolution? Are you ready? Are you ready?
You've joined the Dementia Revolution.
Raymond and Scott, Hot Rods, Carrie Dolly, the Dementia Revolution.
Wesley Willis,
Paul Star. I've joined the Dementia Revolution.
Richard Shane, James
Whistle.
Are you ready?
Are you ready? Ready for the Dementia Revolution?
Radio Adventure of Dr.
Ready?
You've joined the Dementia Revolution.
Dementia Revolution.
Are you ready?
Steve,
are you ready?
The consortium of
Dementia Revolution.
Eric,
are you ready?
DJ,
are you ready?
You've joined the Dementia Revolution.
And now, in the tradition of pun smoke and sappy trails, Muppets Tonight presents Billy Crystal in City Stickers.
Well, here we are, three big city comedians on a cattle drive, huh?
Hey, you know, this is exactly what we needed. Just smell that fresh country air.
Fresh country air? Hmm? I smell stale dairy air.
Ah!
Did you see what I did there, Kermit? I took what you said, the country air, and I made it dairy because of the cows and into a joke, which... Ooh, rough canyon, I'll tell you that right now.
Hey, quit horsing around!
Hey, it's bad when the horses are funnier than us, huh? Let's sing!
He always sings, raggy music to the cattle as he swings. Back and forward in the saddle on a horse. That is syncopated, gated, and it's such a funny meter to the roar of his repeater alley run. When you hear the fellow's gun, because the western folks all know he's a highfalutin, rootin', drootin' son of a gun from Arizona, ragtag cowboy Joe.
Boy, that ended quick. I must have been channeling Roy Rogers.
Hey, I think the cows liked it.
I don't know. That cow in the maternity dress didn't like it.
Oh, no, no. Cows don't wear maternity dresses.
No?
They wear mumos.
Oh.
Let's make a pact, okay? The next one who says a pun gets it right between the eyes, okay? Because I'm getting steamed.
Hey, Billy, you have to do something. That cow back there is about to have a calf.
I can't do anything. I ordered a decaf. But I... you got me doing it.
Billy, please, help me.
Oh, no.
All right, I'll do it. I'll deliver the calf.
And if you don't deliver it in 30 minutes, we get it free. Stop it! Sorry.
Hey, look what I made. I made a...
Mommy!
I made a mistake, that's what I made. Come on, let's sing, because we have no ending.
Good idea.
He's a highfalutin, rootin' tootin' son of a gun from Arizona, ragtime cowboy Joe.
No more singing! Stampede!
Oh, no!
Static crackle in my spinal, demented disciple, microphone recital final. Barry Hansen's a phantom, a random anthem channel, top hat on the mantle, dismantling uptight panels. 55-year odyssey, oddities in odometry, comedy commodity, lobotomy on the monotony. Weird Al's accordion chord adorning the dormitory, norm distorted score in the chorus and auditory. Crashing like nervous Norvis, transfusions in confusion, collisions, contusions, bruising grooves and collusion. Grandma's rain your nightmare smearing the fusion. Monster mash dash from the grave's intrusion. Inducing goosebumps gruesome to some illusions. Refusing to lose. Amusing with music and proving tightness. From nerdcore to comedy to parody. Stupid he would dare to be. Confusing the prudent new students. Polluting the proven. Rebooting the movement. Demented amusement solutions.
So revolutionary. Made it cool to be.
For this last minute inclusion. In 07, you joined me for the Dementia Revolution. Dropping bars so graciously. We left off at Tenacious D. Now the great Luke Ski is going to bring this biography up to date. Let's see. Straight out of New Zealand came two guys named Jermaine and Brett. Fly to the Concords, got robots taking shots. Now the humans are dead. Pregnant women are smug, so says Garfunkel and Oates. The Lonely Island are deserted. Can't you see that they're on a boat? I got a crazy ex-girlfriend from West Covina named Rachel Bloom. And Bo Burnham's making viral hits while quarantined in the city. Room. What happened to the ninja sex party? Who knows? It's quite a mystery. Whitney Avalon facing off against the epic rap battles of history. Cat people like Schaefer the Dark Lord got nine lives to live. He's like Thomas and Benjamin Wilde because he's got no more F's to give. Randy Rainbow singing show tunes with politicians who are obsessed with your junk. Brad got institutionalized, fell in the mud, now he's covered in punk. Do I have the time to mention Tim Minchin? Well, that's debatable. His girlfriend is inflatable while Sulu dates a bagel, bro. Wolves of Glendale got an equine named Ricky, and like Lars here before us, a horror. Is a Horus, of course, here's the chorus.
So revolutionary, made it cool to be where laughing through the static, yeah. No more hiding our tears.
Alan Sherman's sermons burning. Ernest Inferno, Spike Jones, bones, Rome, chrome, tone so eternal. With shaving cream dreams while fish head stream memes. 70 scenes gleam clean through obscene beams. Like a surgeon emerging, words splurging and surging. Virgin versions of urgent, burdens in the detergent. Stay demented, defended, sentences so suspended. Vented inventions invented to leave the senses so dented. 55 years, pioneer, weird career sphere. Tears smear the veneer when the finale nears clear. As dementoids deploy noise, decoy joys, destroy toys. Subvert ploys with void voice, as poi poise and joy ploys. Hit PPC freedom, freak storm in my dream dorm. Scream chorus, distort schemes, get crazy and tweak form. As horoscopes warm from the normal, folklore finally take form. The ethnomusicologist drops the microphone once more.
So revolutionary. Made it cool to be weird. Laughing through the static, yeah.
tribute endeavor. Let me remind you of the point. It was Barry Hanson who pulled the lever. Dr. Demento played all these acts, and it brought us all together. And like me and Tony Goldmark once said, we are demented forever. It boggles my mind how his timeline's 55 years affected our lives. Without his show, I wouldn't have met most of my friends or my two epic ex-wives. Would I have crossed paths with Insane Ian? No, that would have been whack. I would have missed his song about that British actor, Benadryl Lumberjack. No Bonnie Gordon or Xander, the library bards with eternal jazz hands. No Knuckleheads tracks making me laugh so hard that I peed in my pants. Would acts like Henry Phillips have ever blossomed or just died in the vine? What about Mike Furman, Needle Juice Records, and Flat 29? No Weird Al performing Yoda on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, and no alt music Weird Al using it for him, for me to meet MC Larzon. Trillions of connections and relationships made from a show so twisted. Because of that, I even know some kids who without the show would have never existed. And so, Dr. Demento, before you go, I hope you know that the impact you made on generations goes farther than any audio show. We love you, Barrett Hanson, and that love will always grow. Enjoy retirement. Now cheerio, cherry lips, cheerio.
Demento, revolutionary, made it cool to be weird. Laughing through the static, yeah. No more hiding our tears. Top hat in the night sky, with dreams crystal clear.
Thank you for joining us on Luke Ski's Animation and Stuff podcast. Leave comments for this episode on our Facebook page, and Luke might read them on a future episode. He might not. We can never tell. You can see Luke Ski's storyboard portfolio full of animatics and PDFs at www.luke.ski. That's L-U-K-E dot S-K-I. Yes, they're spelled differently. Luke is currently seeking a full-time storyboarding position at an animation studio, so please, please, please contact him with any story test or job offers. Thank you! You can find Luke Ski on most social media at the handle @TheGreatLukeSki. The website for his nerdy comedy music is TheGreatLukeSki.com, and you can hear his decades of Dr. Demento Show chart-topping hilarious hits on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, YouTube Music, any other music, SoundCloud, Deezer, Tubify, Shrapnel, Figsy, and Glomp. And for people who like to support music acts by actually buying their MP3s, iTunes and Bandcamp. You can also hear his latest tracks at Luke Ski's page at the website of The Funny Music Project, a.k.a. TheFump.com, TheFump.com. I'm your announcer, Insane Ian, doing this mainly so Luke wouldn't resort to reading the intro and outro copy himself while doing his Gilbert Gottfried impression, because we all know that's what Luke would have done. And it wouldn't have helped his listenership numbers at all.
Shut up, Ian!
We're to drive in a car.
Destination drug dealer's bar.
Pass the mic right over to Charles. We forgot Charles.
But we can't turn back because we've gone too far.
We have to turn back, though. We can't leave him. It was a good rhyme, though.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.